Fireflies Unite with Kia, your weekly podcast from the perspective of individuals thriving with a mental illness. We are normalizing the conversation about mental health within communities of color to foster mental wellness and empowerment. Welcome to another episode of the Fireflies Unite podcast with me, Kia, where our mission is to bring light into darkness, just like the fireflies, by simply sharing the stories of people of color who live and thrive with a mental illness and to normalize the mental health conversation. So it is another episode and I am excited to bring you all today's topic. But before we get into that, welcome new listeners. I see y'all checking the podcast out and I hope that you're finding the topics valuable. I hope that the podcast is giving you some encouragement to talk about mental health, but also that it encourages you to live in your truth, whatever that may be. You may not have a mental health condition, but you may struggle with seeking validation or having healthy relationships, and all that stuff is tied to our mental health. So if you are new here, welcome, and thank you for checking us out. I'm always open to improving the podcast. So if you have something that you would like me to discuss, or if you know of a person you think would be a great fit to interview, or you have a story that you want to share, please feel free. Email me, Kia@fireflyesunite.com. And then I also want to remind you all about the survey. Y'all, please, I need y'all help. Y'all, I'm begging you to fill out that survey so I can learn more about you all. That's the only way that the podcast will continue to grow. I need to know who's checking the podcast out. What are your thoughts? How can I improve the podcast? What do you like about the podcast? What keeps you coming back to check out episodes week after week? So that link will be in the show notes or the description box. Y'all, please make sure that you click it. It will take 5 minutes or less. And for those who enter, you fill out the survey, you automatically enter your chance of winning a $50 Amazon gift card or a copy of my book. And it will be given to three people. So I'll give out two copies of my book and Amazon gift card. So it'll be three different people. So come on, y'all. Help a sister out and complete that survey. I look forward to seeing your responses and I am really, really excited. So y'all, please do a sister a favor. Also, I wanted to remind you, the mental health first aid class that I'm offering, it is actually full and a wait list has started. Since this is my first time teaching the class, I got trained a couple months ago to actually teach mental health first aid, and so I didn't want to do anything too big, so that's why the class is super small. But I will be offering it again, probably not until the new year, but the class is full and a wait list has started. So if you didn't get a chance to sign up, you can go on the wait list, or you can just wait until the new year when I offer another class. So I just wanted to update you all on that. And so for today's topic, I am super, super excited because this is a topic that we have not discussed on the podcast. And I am joined by Siobhan Sudbury. She is the founder and the creator of the Breathe Free Project. And she is also a clarity cultivator because she teaches women how to get unstuck, gain clarity of their lives, so they can be free and unstoppable to live the life they were created to live. So this conversation that I am having with Siobhan on today's episode, we are going to talk about the motherless child. And that doesn't necessarily mean that your mom passed away. It could be you have a toxic relationship with your mother. It could be your mother was absent or emotionally unavailable. So this is a topic that I thought was so important because we often talk about daddy issues, but we never really talk about mother wounds or mommy issues. So we are going to get into this interview, and I look forward to hearing your feedback. If you enjoy this episode, please leave a review wherever you listen to the podcast, especially Apple Podcasts. So let's get into this interview with Siobhan. So welcome, Siobhan, to the Fireflies Unite podcast. How are you?
I am amazing. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to chat with you.
I am excited to speak with you too, because this topic that we're about to talk about, I just need to tell everybody they better have their tissues on standby just in case.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm so glad that we talked about this, because it's not a conversation that's being had. And so I'm grateful that I have spaces that I can talk about this and we can kind of get it going. So, yeah.
Absolutely. So typically, like, the first question that I ask every guest is, was mental health talked about growing up?
Absolutely not. Not at all. And even today, specifically in my family, it's almost like let's keep everything in the house, you know, and it's almost like certain things just shouldn't be talked about. However, that didn't feel good in my spirit as I was growing up. And now that I'm adult with my own children, I'm like, why is it we do things that way? It's so crazy. But no, it definitely wasn't a conversation piece, but it definitely needed to be one.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think a lot of people, specifically for Black people, the thing that we often heard was like, what happens in this house stays in this house. Yep. And that has damaged so many people. That has been the result of generational trauma. That has been the result of so much stuff within our community. So we often talk about daddy issues pretty frequently. You'll hear people say things like deadbeat dad or absent dad. And so when you reached out to me to talk about like mother wounds and like mommy issues, I knew that it was something that had to be discussed, because I've never talked about it on the podcast. And that's not something I really talked about, because I know I definitely have overcome and still working through the absence of my father. But when my mom was somebody who has been very present in my life, there were still some things that she did that impacted me. And that's not to say that she wasn't the best mother that she can be, because my mom is my best friend. And I do have a very great relationship with my mom. However, there, of course, is some things that could have been done differently. But I think I wanted to ask you specifically, like, what was essentially, why did you become so passionate about this topic? Because, like we said, not too many people are talking about like mother wounds and mommy issues.
Oh, yes, I have so much to share. So starting off, I have my own mother wounds and I've had them forever. My mother made a choice when I was 15 years old that will forever impact my life. And in a nutshell, she chose a man over me. And so prior to her in so many ways abandoning me, she was emotionally disconnected in our relationship. And I didn't know that as a child. I just knew that she was not present the way that I needed. And I noticed it more as I was growing up. So when I turned 15 years old, my mother made that choice and I moved in with my grandmother. Now, in our family, my grandmother, you know, she did the best that she could and she raised me and all that jazz. And it was such an amazing experience. I'm grateful for that to this day. However, we never had a discussion really about how my mother making that choice would impact my life. And so I was just taught to go, you know, be positive, keep going. We're going to take care of you. I go on to go to college. I get my master's degree. I get married. I have kids. But yet, never dealt with the mother wound until I was 32 years old, which was several years ago. And the reason that I point that out is because I was carrying that mother pain for 17 years of my life, thinking that if I got married, if I got the house, if I went to college, if I became, you know, successful in my own life, then I would basically heal on my own. But that wasn't the case at all. I was struggling emotionally and mentally because I was carrying so much baggage There is nothing like a mother's love. And when you don't have that connection growing up and then it's stripped away from you, you're left feeling like you're not good enough, like something is wrong with me. I mean, just so many different emotions that came up from that. And so it took me so long to kind of realize like I had to do something, and that doing something was going to therapy. Now, I do want to point out, I was very active in church, going every single Sunday, getting the word, feeling, you know, on this emotional high, but would leave church and pull my car over weeping because I was so sad by what was happening internally. And this is how I knew that I needed to go to therapy, is because I thought that because my mother walked away and my father was never really present, but that's a whole different story, that because my mother had walked away, that every person that I loved deeply was also going to walk away from me. And so I had all these crazy thoughts in my head, like, oh, well, when you go home, your husband will be gone, or somebody's going to take your kids. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going crazy. And so I went to my church, and I knew the therapist there, and she said they had this group called Healing the Mother Wound. I signed up for that, and it was a 4-month group coaching program, or a group therapy, if you will, or group counseling, and it forever changed my life. And that was the start of my healing.
Wow. That's so much to unpack, because when you think about the person who gave you life, and while yes, it takes two people to bring life into this world, but the person who you spent 9 months in the womb, the person who actually pushed you out, you know, of their body, delivered you. Mm-hmm. And that's the first bond that a child has, is with their mother. You know, when you deliver a baby, and after that, you know, the baby, when the baby is placed in your arm and you and the baby look into each other's eyes at the first time, a lot of times that's essentially what people usually see in movies. So they assume that that's how it's going to be in real life, usually to showcase or to kind of show that that's what that relationship may be like for the rest of that child's life. But that's not always the case. So for you, looking back, how did you start to connect the dots, or essentially start to realize, even before you were 15, when you were younger, let's say in grade school, do you remember what that disconnection was like when you were much younger?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I would say, I want to be very careful with my words, because I never want to bash my mother, because she did do the best that she could with what she knew. But I've seen a lot, I'll just say that, growing up, and we moved around a lot. I was always at different schools, so it was hard for me to build friendships up until high school because of the frequent moving. And even when I was 13 or 14, I was in the eighth grade, and I remember my eighth grade teacher gave me my first journal. And I was so excited about it because I'm an only child. So that gave me an outlet to kind of write what I was feeling. And when I had forgot my journal at home while I was at school. And when I came back, my journal was not where I left it. And I went, and I'm like, where the heck is it? And so I go and ask my mom, and she said, you know, she had it. She had kept my journal, and she had read it, and she had punished me for what I had written. So very early on, I knew that my eighth grade teacher said, here's a resource that you can use to write out your feelings and express yourself. However, my mother punished me for what I had written. And I remember her way of punishment was isolating me in a room by myself. And I remember that very vividly, and I never forgot that. And that was the day that I lost my voice. Not physically, but it was like internally, like I knew that, okay, if I express myself and I share how I feel, people will be hurt by it. So let me just keep everything bottled up inside. But that's one vivid experience that I have where there was a disconnect. And then also there was never, and I described this in the Motherless Child Guidebook that I created, but one of the ways that my mother, our relationship is toxic, is because she was emotionally unavailable. Now, I want to point out that she had me when she was 19 years old. She was a single mom that raised me. She had been through a lot of things as well. I recently learned about 3 years ago that she has a mental illness. Now, I did not know that growing up. So now when I look back and I'm like, oh, wow, okay, this is why she behaved this way, or this is why she acted out, because of the mental illness that she has. So now I'm kind of tying everything together. But to answer your question specifically, when I knew that there was, things weren't just the way that they should have been, I guess, as you would say, is when I was a teenager and when I was very early on, very young or whatever.
Wow. This conversation is like so needed, and it's just so powerful to just sit here and listen to your story, because there are other women who deal with this, but it may not actually be discussed. So how does, you know, when someone has mother wounds, how does that show up in one's life? And you talk in one case about how, you know, having this fear and this anxiety around people going to leave you, rightfully so, mm-hmm. because if the one person that brought you in this world left you, it would make you to feel that everyone else will abandon you. But what are some mm-hmm. other ways that it shows up when people are dealing with mother wounds?
Yeah, it definitely showed up in how I parented my children. So in my mind, because my mother made the choices that she made very early on, I was going to do everything opposite of what she did. However, I did it at a fault because I was competing with her in my mind to become the best mother that I could be. And that was driving me crazy, right? And so sometimes when my daughter, when she was very young, she would say, you know, we see daddy's mom, we see grandma, where's your mom at? And I was triggered. And that would make me like instantly cry and like go back to that childhood place of my mother is missing in my life, which that was one of the reasons why I started going to therapy, specifically for my children, because I wanted to be a better mother to them. And other ways that it showed up in my life was in my friendships. So because I'm an only child, because I have mother wounds, oftentimes I would tend to follow what everybody else was doing versus having a mind on my own. When I got into, let's just say, adulthood, I wouldn't speak up for myself. So when I was working in corporate America and we would be in meetings and maybe I had an idea about something, I held back what I was thinking because I didn't want to feel like, oh, your answer is wrong, or, you know, or be laughed at or whatever the case. So a lot of things would kind of play out in my mind and would cause me to kind of go within because I didn't know if what I shared would be valued because I didn't feel valued in the relationship with my mother. Also, I could probably go on and on with this, but having low self-esteem. So not feeling pretty enough, not feeling good enough, not feeling like I was smart enough based on not having that connection with my mother. And then I think the final thing that I will share on that is that because I had mother wounds, I lacked purpose in myself. And the only way that I was purpose, especially in the work that I do today, was that I had to heal and go to therapy and do a lot of inner work to kind of grow from that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It makes complete sense. And what stands out to me is how it goes back to that experience of when your mom took your journal away, you said you lost your voice. And so in different areas of your life, whether it's with your friendships or with your children or at work, you often were silenced. And it's not that other people were silencing you, but essentially you wouldn't speak up for yourself. And so when you were speaking, I was like, yeah, it makes sense, because I start to connect the dots. And so many times people don't realize, whether it's mother wounds or any challenges or issues that are going on, is that how it stems from something. And they're wondering while they're going in circles and like mm-hmm. doing the same thing over and expecting a different result, which we know is the definition of insanity.
Yeah.
And a lot of times trying to, or sometimes being aware of something that you want to change, but you like, oh my gosh, I cannot change this thing, or this thing about myself is bothering me. Why can't I break this? Why can't I change it? Or in other cases, not being aware at all and just completely walking around oblivious to the negative thinking that you have, the toxic relationships that you may have, not you specifically, people in general.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I get it.
But just in general, we don't realize how it stemmed from something. And so how do, you know, I think, oh, that's okay. That's what I was going to ask you. I'm getting ahead of myself. So I actually want you to speak about your motherless child guidebook. And I guess you shared a little bit of why you created it, but why did you feel as though this was something that was needed?
Yeah. So one thing before I get into that, that I want to point out, that when it comes to mother wounds, another thing that stood out for me is that I carried a lot of shame. I carried a lot of guilt, and I was blaming my mother for everything that was going wrong in my life. So whatever happened, I was able to say, you know what? That's because my mother walked away, versus taking responsibility of my own life and saying, okay, that is what happened to me, but that doesn't have to define me. And a lot of times, women with mother wounds, they carry a lot of shame, they carry a lot of guilt, and they don't know how to set boundaries, so they allow people to treat them any kind of way, and people will walk all over them because, oh, I want to hold this person really close to me, because if I let them go, then I got to deal with that pain, and that pain is oftentimes, if you have mother wounds, it's tied to that as well. So I definitely wanted to point that out. When it comes to creating the Motherless Child Guidebook, A Sacred Space for Healing Your Mother Wounds, the reason that I created it was, I was type first here, on Mother's Day. So let me say this first. I have a strained relationship with my mother, meaning we don't really talk at all. Only if we see each other at an event or something like that, or a gathering, but we don't talk, and we haven't talked for years. Most recently, she has been around because my grandmother, who raised me, she's turning 90, and so my grandmother or my mother has been spending a lot more time in her house, and so I've been having to see her. And this past Mother's Day was very triggering to me. So for most people, you know, or I could say for many people, Mother's Day may be a really joyous occasion. For me, it's not. Yes, I love my children and all that jazz. However, it's triggering to me because I don't have that bond like other women may have. Like you said, you have with your mom, and she's your best friend. And so this past Mother's Day, my mother was over to my grandmother's house, and we were just all, well, I wasn't talking to her, but we were all staying at the house. And when she gets ready to go, you know, she starts to hug everyone at the table. And when she gets to me, she taps me on my shoulder and says, bye, Siobhan. Now, the adult me understands, like, okay, I get it. This is just how our relationship is. But the inner child in me was crying out for her mother's love once again. And so when I get home, I'm like, man, this really messed me up. And I'm trying to process all of my emotions, you know, doing things I've done in therapy and all that jazz. And so I was like, man, I got to talk about this. I have to share this experience. And another thing is, I noticed on this particular Mother's Day on social media, there were so many posts about women who may not necessarily have a good relationship with their mother. And I was so appreciative of that because it's rare that you see that. You always see the happy stuff and people just assume that everyone's, you know, relationship is similar. But this particular year, there was a lot for people who didn't necessarily have that type of relationship. And so when I had that experience at my grandmother's house and when I saw the post, I said, okay, Siobhan, let's do a podcast episode about this. And so I titled it The Motherless Child. And I share my story. I talk about toxic relationships, how women can heal, all of that. I did not know what door I was opening. I honestly didn't. I was just hopping on to record my experience. I start checking my DMs and I get flooded with messages from women all over the world thanking me for sharing, but then they started sharing their personal stories with me. Now, you would never know if you go to their Instagram page or Facebook or what have you. Beautiful women. But yet they have shared these very painful stories with me, so much so that when I copied everything that I had got from them, I have 7 pages of stories from women that, you know, that they shared with me. And so I felt afterwards a responsibility to not just create this podcast, but because I did so much healing work and I'm still healing, that I wanted to create a resource to kind of support them on their journey. So if they didn't know where to start and they haven't been to therapy yet, but they do have mother wounds, here's a resource. Or if you are in therapy and you need additional support, here's a resource, you know? And so that was my intent, to create something to really help women start their healing journey if they have mother wounds. And that's how I started it.
That is just such a powerful resource that is needed, as you already know, just for people to have the space to even write that out and actually start to process it. Because it is one thing to have something constantly replaying in your head. It's another thing to write that stuff down and start processing it.
Yes, it is.
You were going to say something?
Yeah, it really is. And one of the things that I want to point out, these were complete strangers. So these women don't know me. They listened to my podcast and somehow they built a connection that they felt safe enough to share these very personal stories. And then once I put the Motherless Child Guidebook on sale, like, you know, women started buying it, like in Germany and these other countries and, you know, across the U.S. And I'm like, oh, wow, like this is really necessary. And like you were saying very early on, there's not much conversation, if any, about the mother wound. You know, and so I know the work that I'm doing is so needed and necessary, and I'm grateful, and I'm going to keep using grateful because that's the space that I'm in, that I was bold enough and vulnerable enough and transparent enough, and, you know, and I honored the call that God had on my life. That's exactly how I want to put it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can relate. While, you know, you've taken something that was so painful for you, but you used it and it became a part of your mission. It became a part of, essentially, I like this quote where people often say, this didn't happen to me, but it happened for me. And that's something that I like to live by when I think about my suicide attempt and my challenges of living with a mental health condition. Because while, yes, it is very challenging, and I still struggle to this very day sometimes with suicidal thoughts, I want people to know, you know, that one, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to talk about these things. And people always laugh when I say this, but I'm like, y'all, Tupac said you can't heal what you don't reveal. It's like,
hello. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
We want to walk around, and it's so, I don't even know how to put it, but like when I see people, like whether it's certain family members or friends, and I listen to them and I see the things that they do, I immediately know that it's tied to something that they haven't processed or they haven't dealt with. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about, you know, women who have either their mother passed away so they could, you know, be considered a motherless child, but, or either their mother was absent. Mm-hmm. And so when you talk about women sharing, you know, sharing these stories from you, I'm pretty sure it probably created, essentially, you know, you've created a community, but it also, I'm pretty sure it was very, what's the word I want to use? It was very rewarding for you to be able to push through and say, you know what, I'm sharing my truth, and it may not be the most prettiest story tied in a bow, but this is my truth. This is what happened to me. And naturally you see people start to gravitate to you because people want to attach to something that they know is real and authentic. In this era where you see there's so much glitz and glam on social media, where people are not really sharing those intimate things. And so when we get that, it's like a breath of fresh air. And that's why I truly believe that, you know, your Motherless Child Guidebook is that something I'm actually going to get for a relative of mine who's going through this while her mother is not dead, but she feels some sort of disconnection. And yeah. I know that this is something that she will benefit from. So I just want to thank you for creating this guidebook.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And one thing that I want to point out, because you hit on so many great things, I hid behind my mother wounds for so long. And so you would see me out and about, you know, I know how to dress cute. I know how to put the makeup on, hair, all that jazz. But internally, I was broken and I was wearing this invisible mask to cover up my pain. So that's when I talked about how, you know, all these ladies were sending me their very painful stories. But yet when you go and look at their feed, they are too wearing a mask because no one has made space for them to heal. And that is what I'm most passionate about. When I put this piece of work out in the world, I wanted to simply make space for women. I wanted to let them know that I see you, that I acknowledge you, and I understand what you're going through because I have my own wounds. And I will be very honest, when we started off 2019, this was not anything that I had planned to talk about. This was not on my goal list. I had other things that I had planned to do. However, again, there was this call, like, you got to say something. Because I've been hiding behind it in my business, I realized that there were certain areas in my business that I was never going to grow in. And in my personal life, because I was hiding behind my mother wound. And so when I made a decision, I said, you know what? And this is what why I made the decision. When I was in therapy, my therapist was like, you're doing amazing. You're breaking these generational cycles. You're doing so much work. She was like, but I need you to be more vulnerable, more transparent, and more authentic. Now, when she said that, I was like, well, I feel like I am being all those things. But I now understand what she meant. She didn't use the words like talk about your story a little bit more, but now it all makes sense. And I want to share two more things that's kind of going to tie this all together. And I hope it will encourage whoever is listening to start their healing journey, no matter where they're at in their journey as it relates to healing. When I was in my early 20s, I remember going to like this wholeness, wellness seminar type of thing. And it was this guy there. And he was going around the room and he said, everyone, you can ask him a question or whatever, and he would give you some type of feedback. So again, let me point out, I had never met this guy a day in my life. So when he gets to me, I told him I suffer from migraines. And he looked me dead in my eyes and he said, fix the relationship with your mother and your migraines will go away. And I started crying because I'm like, what the heck? Who is this? Now, the reason that I bring that up, I started suffering from migraines from the age of 19 all the way into my 30s. And I never knew what the reason I was getting them. And migraines are very severe, where you get headaches, fatigue, you have to be in complete darkness, you get blurriness behind, blurry vision, all of this, right? And I suffered for years and didn't do anything that I didn't know what to do. And it wasn't until I started going to therapy that she said, your migraines are tied to your mother wound. This year, actually maybe end of last year, going into this year, my migraines are not severe or I don't get them at all. Before, I had to take prescription medication. I would have to go to ER and get like shots and all this jazz. But now I can feel a headache coming on. I can lay down, take a quick nap, and it will pass. I praise God for that because I begged and I pleaded for God to take these migraines away. But it wasn't until I addressed my mother wounds and did the healing that I no longer get them. Or they come and they go, and I can just be having a conversation with you right now. And if my vision gets blurry, I can kind of tap my way through it. And there's some things I can share if you want to know more about tapping and breathing, and then it will pass by. So I say that to say, like, if anyone is dealing with mother wounds specifically, no matter where you're at in your life, like, you don't have to stay in that space. You can definitely start healing. And I really want to kind of talk about, like, the toxic relationships, because sometimes you can have a toxic relationship with your mom, but you don't realize that it's toxic because it's been normalized to you. So what I mean, and I talk about this in the Motherless Child Guidebook, I point out 8 specific toxic patterns, whether your mother is emotionally unavailable. That was my mother. Your mother can be controlling. She can be dismissive. She can be enmeshed with what I mean by that is the smothering. So there's so many different patterns that can happen in that relationship with your mother. And it's very important that you kind of take a look at how that affected your life, right? And then how your mother and your children, or you're moving through, you know, life or whatever. And then you got to heal from that. And then one other thing that I want to point out before we move on, because it's very important, and this helps me give my mother compassion, and I'm able to be empathetic. I honestly don't believe that our mothers wanted to hurt us. Well, let me just say this. I don't believe my mother wanted to hurt me. I honestly believe that she loved me the best she knew how. However, there were some things that happened in her life that when she got to a certain point, she had done all that she could do. I'm very grateful, you know, for what happened, because I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you today about this had that not happened. So I can have a certain level of gratitude. But my mother, I see her as a flawed human being who also has unhealed wounds, traumatic things to happen to her. So because she didn't heal, she passed that right over to me. And so I made a decision that the generational cycle or the chains or the trauma, like, that stops with me, and that I am going to break all of that so that my children do not have to live out my pain and my unhealed, you know, pain from my mother. I made a decision that the trauma, it stops with me. And so I want people listening to be encouraged by that. Like, do the work so that nobody else has to live through your pain.
Do the work so nobody else has to live through your pain.
Yes.
Like, it's like, let that sink in for a moment, because that is so true. And it pains me. I truly believe it is our God-given birthright to be whole in every area of our life. But until we are able and willing to put the work forth, some people will walk around and be broken until the day that they die.
Yeah, so true.
And yep. I'm like, I don't want that to be me. Mm-mm. And like you said, you know, you did the work. So now your children do not have to suffer.
Absolutely. And
interesting, because you made me think about something that Dr. Anita Phillips did. She's a therapist and the first lady of Kingdom Life Church. And she talked about, it was an Instagram story that she did. And she talked about parents apologizing to their children, because so many times, and I can't speak for other races, but I know in the Black community, a lot of times it's just like, I'm the parent, you do as I say, not do as I do. I'm the parent, so I'm always right, and I don't owe you explanation, I don't owe you an apology. But not realizing that that is not healthy, that is very toxic. And some parents, I was just talking to this about my friend, and she was saying how her mom will get mad at her about something, and then like she will stop talking to her for an extended time and then kind of ease her way back in. And she's never given her an apology for some of the things that she's done. And it's like, that's a whole nother podcast, but that's an episode within itself. Like, just when you talked about that, it made me think about that, like the importance of parents even going back once they start to make the connection, because there could be somebody listening to this who has their mother wounds and they actually pass something on to their children. And then when they, for instance, maybe they start to use the Motherless Child Guidebook and they go to therapy and they start to realize, oh my gosh, I passed this on to my children, but not say anything. But it's so rewarding and validating for a parent to go back and even just to apologize. And like you said, you do realize that, yes, parents are human and they're not perfect. But at the same time, parents also have to take responsibility for the trauma that they've passed down, even if they weren't responsible for it.
Oh, I have so much to say. Oh, man. So let me know if I'm talking too much. But one of the things that another reason that I decided to go to therapy, because I wanted my children to experience a healed version of me. Right. And when it comes to apologies, that's all I wanted. And I remember Jay-Z said it best on the 444 documentary when he was talking about the absence of his father. And then when his father passed away, he said, all I wanted him to do was to acknowledge what had happened. And when I heard him say that, I'm like, that is it. I just wanted acknowledgement. However, depending on how the relationship is with your mother, you may never get that apology. You may never get that acknowledgement. And if you're waiting on it, you could be waiting a lifetime and you will stunt your growth waiting on them to do something that they may never do. My mother has never, I can't recall an apology or really acknowledge anything that she done. Now, let me point this out. I did forgive her. I called her several years ago and I said, I just want you to know that I forgive you for everything that you've done. I'm not holding any hard feelings. I know you did the best that you could with what you had. And she didn't even acknowledge the apology. She went on to talk about something else. I didn't call her to get any type of acknowledgement. I called to free myself because forgiveness is about me and how I'm showing up in the world. And if I waited for a response for her, I'm only going to hold myself back. So I made a decision that I am going to free myself and let her know that I forgive her. So then that way, when I talk to women, when I coach them, when I speak at events, I'm speaking from a place of integrity. And I'm not a hypocrite saying, oh, you need to forgive somebody, but I didn't do it myself. And then the other thing that I do want to point on is that I was speaking at an event this past summer, and this lady, a complete stranger, walked up to me and she said, you know, I follow you on Facebook. You've been talking a lot about mother wounds. And she was like, I wasn't able to respond on your post, but it's really been sitting with me. And she said, I now realize that everything that I didn't want to repeat that my mother did, I have passed that on to my daughter. And she was like, I didn't even realize it until I read your post. And I don't know exactly what I said, but whatever I said about mother wounds, it made her reflect and realize that every single thing that she didn't want to do and repeat that her mother did, she passed it over to her daughter. So now she has to take a moment and say, okay, how do I fix this? So that's another reason why the Motherless Child Guidebook is so important, because yes, you have to heal yourself, but then you also have to think about every relationship that you are connected to, whether you're raising children, whether you're showing up in your relationship with your spouse or your partner, your friendships, how are your mother wounds affecting these other relationships and what are you going to do about it?
Absolutely. Like, absolutely. Like, this conversation is just like, it's just giving me, like, I can't even think of a word to describe it, but it's like, this isn't necessarily my struggle, but like, mm-hmm. I just see, I know people that this is their struggle. Yeah. And to be able to bring light to it is, for me, I feel like, and to hold this space for you to share your story and for other women to hear this, it feels like I'm doing my small part by making sure that this conversation is being had. And for someone to even work through that and get to the other side of it is something that is not easy, but it just shows you the benefits and the value to healing your mother wound. Mm-hmm. So can you just speak to how you doing your work, how that has benefited you in the relationship with your husband, your children, your friends, your business, just all of that?
Yeah, it is so liberating. It is such a freeing feeling to know, and rewarding to know, that because I decided to be the face of this, if you will, and really put my business out there, that other women can say, oh, I'm not alone. Oh, there's somebody else that have went through this. And then the most important part is that I'm healed, right? So yes, I still get triggered here and there, and this is why the work will continue to be a part of me, but I'm nowhere where I used to be. And so my relationship with my husband is better, because there used to be points in our marriage, and I've been married for 16 years now, where in the beginning, when we had to, let's just say we were having a debate or a disagreement about something, instead of using my voice, I kept everything bottled up inside. Now, that is not healthy at all, because yes, it still bothered me, but I would let a few days pass over and then just move on like nothing went on. And it wasn't until I was in therapy where she was like, you know, you have to use your voice. own your voice, speak your truth. As long as you are not intentionally trying to hurt anyone, you have a right to share whatever is on your heart. Now, it took me a lot of time, a lot of bumps in the road to kind of get there, but it makes so much sense. And the same thing with my children. I have done an amazing job with cultivating a healthy, happy home for our family. And I, whenever I do something wrong, I have my daughter's 13 and my son is 11. And when I am very quick to apologize to them and say, hey, I don't have all the answers. I make mistakes. I am working through things, and they understand. So then that way we can have an open conversation, and they know that I am a flawed human being, just like the next person. However, I love them unconditionally. And then another thing that I want to point out is that I talk about therapy with my kids. So they know, you know, mommy's going to therapy, you know, and it's a part of our everyday conversation. And I'm going to encourage them because I'm sure, like, there's some things that, you know, may happen. And, you know, when they become adults, I want them to know that that is a safe place and it's not a taboo thing or we keep everything in this house. No, you go talk to a professional because they can probably help you in ways that I can never help you. And then when it comes to my friendships, it's taken a lot. I'm going through something right now with a friend that is really, it's been challenging. But even in these, in my friendships that are very close to me, I've learned how to use my voice. Now, everybody cannot accept it. You know, and it may rub them the wrong way, but as long as I'm not being disrespectful or anything like that, I'm owning that space for my needs first in that way.
All amazing things, like all amazing things. And it's like, those are things that other people can have if they take the time to do the work. And yes, it is painful when it is hard, but I'm sure you can agree that it's so rewarding.
Yes. I mean, when I get the emails from women, again, in other countries, you know, in the U.S., you know, thanking me for the work that I'm doing, or because I'm talking about mother wounds, they now are open to go to therapy. Even on my podcast, I had Dr. Joy from Therapy for Black Girls, and we had a conversation about unhealthy mother-daughter relationships and just being able to share my experience, but then have a professional, like from, you know, the clinical side, kind of talk about this. I'm just continuously making space for women to heal. And my hope, which I know it will land on, you know, good ears where they're ready to say, okay, this is a toxic relationship that I have with my mother. It's been going on for this amount of time. I'm ready to address it. And it can be severe or it can be really subtle, you know, or anything in between the spectrum. But I just really want women to take a look at the relationship. How has it affected your childhood? How is it affecting you presently? And then how are you going to grow from it?
Wow. Ooh, I had to take a moment. So, so with you, I know you also are a, you know, you a clarity coach or clarity cultivator, essentially a life coach. So when you are working with clients, is this an area that comes up for them?
No, not too often. So let me point this out. My company, Be Free Project, is all about helping women feel fulfilled and to flourish. So I do one-on-one work. I have a community space. I host events and obviously the podcast. When I created the Motherless Child Guidebook, this is just an extension of the foundation of the work that I do with Be Free Project. So everyone in my community, this is not their issue, if you will. So it's not a lot of conversation unless you come to me about it. So again, yeah, it's just an extension of the work that I do. So that's one of the things that I'm going to be working on. I'm taking a break from social media really soon. And so I'm going to be thinking about ways of how to get the Motherless Child Guidebook in front of the right women. So I've been having conversation with therapists and things like that, because this is not for everyone. It's a specific community of people that can relate. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. I completely understand. And I think, to just to give you, you kind of talked about it a little bit, but I also want to give you the opportunity to just talk briefly about Girl Be Free podcast.
Yeah. So as I was saying before we started recording, my podcast will be 2 years old next month. And my audience asked me to do it, and I didn't know, you know, I'm like, I just know I love to talk, so I'm going to put it out there. And it has grown in so many beautiful ways, and the responses and the feedback that I'm getting from people that are listening and tuning in, and it's all about really motivating women to show up for themselves. So I share a lot of my personal stories on there, and then I'm always giving an action step and a resource, a connection for women to kind of start to do the work on their own. And I am very action oriented. So my thing is, what are you going to do now that you heard this? You know, now that you listen to this podcast, what are you going to do? Because we have enough stuff to inspire us and to encourage us and to motivate us. But what are you going to do with what you just heard? So that is where the Girl Be Free podcast, like, that is basically in a nutshell what it's for, to share what I'm going through, to share some other women, their experiences, and then give you actionable steps on how to move forward. That's that.
Yes, I've definitely checked it out. So it's definitely a great resource. And before you go, I have to ask you two things. So what words of encouragement would you give to someone who is listening, who is struggling with mother wounds? Whether that's from the absence of their mom emotionally or physically, or have toxic relationships, what would your words of encouragement be to the women who are listening?
Yeah, I really want women to know that, as I said earlier, like, I see you, I acknowledge you, I'm making space for you. You are not alone. As I shared, there's been plenty of women that I just know of that have reached out to me sharing their stories. And even though maybe your friends in your life cannot relate, there are some women that can relate. And so that is why I'm doing the work that I'm doing, to really let you know that even if you have a toxic relationship with your mother, whether it's been identified or not, at any point in your life, you can heal. I remember feeling like I was just going to be miserable forever. Like, this just is what it is, and I'm going to suffer. And it wasn't until my last day of therapy, because it was a group session called Healing the Mother Wound. And I remember the therapist was going around the room to each woman, asking them how they feel. And I'm thinking the whole time while she's going around the room, what am I going to say when she gets to me? Because I don't know. So she stands in front of me and she says, how do you feel? And I said, you know, I don't know. And so she starts to look in my eyes, and I'm just crying at this point. She begins to embrace me, and she starts pressing certain points of my back. To this day, I don't really know why. And it was the first time that I felt seen, that I didn't feel like I was all alone, that somebody understood. And every woman in the room started praying for me. And it was in that moment that the 15-year-old girl, because that was the age when I moved in with my grandmother, she had, in a sense, died, and a 32-year-old woman that I was at the time was birthed. And I felt so free, and I felt so liberated, and I felt like all the mental and emotional baggage that I had been carrying, I was able to release that. And from that moment, the following year, I got laid off from my job in corporate America that I had been at for 7 years. I got laid off of that job. I did a lot of, and that was October of 2013. I started doing a lot of self-discovery work. And February 2014 is when I launched Be Free Project. And I've never had to work for anyone else. And I know my purpose so clearly is to be a light and empower others to be free. The only way that I'm so crystal clear about my purpose, and this is to sum up everything that I just said, is because I did my healing work first. That is what I want everyone to walk away with. Do the healing work and see how life will start to unfold because you are doing the inner work that you've been suppressing for so long.
That is, like, everything that you just said is like, I don't think sometimes people don't realize how literally when we start our healing process, our lives literally changes for the better.
Yes.
But sometimes people are actually afraid of better because when you're so used to being broken, it's like, well, if I'm not broken, then what does that look like? And it's fear of the unknown.
Oh my gosh. Yes. That is so true. And that was a fear of mine. Like, what does life look like without a mother wound? And it wasn't, I'm working with the coach. I've been working with the coach since February. And that's one of the things that we've been talking about. Like, what does this look like when that's no longer a trigger for you? And I'm like, oh my goodness. And I'm starting to experience that now. Like, this year has been my year of growth and healing. And when I tell you, I have been stretched like nobody's business. Like, it's just been a crazy year, but in a good way. And now I know that, oh, God had to take me through all of these things because 2020 and beyond is going to be my glow up season. And that is what I've been manifesting for a minute now. But in order for me to appreciate and to see that, I had to heal. And you're right, like, it is scary when you have to go back to your childhood stuff and uncover so much stuff that has been suppressed. The reason why people don't do the work is because that is a scary place, because now you're open and you got to do something with that, you know, what you just learned about yourself or what you uncovered. And many people don't want to do that. So they are more comfortable with being in this dysfunctional space versus doing that inner work to heal. And that's why therapy is so important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So thank you so much for just taking the time to have this conversation. And I have to ask you, how can people connect with you and learn more about you? Of course, I'm going to include everything in the show notes, but I want you to say it so they can hear it.
Absolutely. And so most importantly, since we are the conversation around mother wound, the guidebook is called The Motherless Child Guidebook, A Sacred Space for Healing Your Mother Wound. And I want people to know just a little bit about what it includes, so you know if it's right for you or not. What I talk about in the guidebook is, number one, how to use it. I share my healing journey. I talk about the different toxic mother patterns that you can kind of look at in your own life and how to identify them. I talk about how do you understand what a mother wound is and how do you start to heal that. And then also I talk about mothering the inner child, because that part is what I've been working on most this year, is that the little girl in me, she will show her face. And I'm like, oh, goodness, let me kind of nurture her and let her know that she's safe and nobody is out to hurt her, you know. And then the last part, and this has been the most eye-opening thing that I had to do, was to change my narrative. And so we talked about that a little bit in the beginning, where I realized that what happened to me did not have to define me. So I decided to change my narrative so I didn't have to keep repeating the pain over and over again. So that is what I talk about in the guidebook. And in addition to that, is also I did over 90 minutes of video content for the guidebook. So then that way you can hear me discuss each topic so you understand what you should be kind of thinking about as you go through it. I also recorded affirmations. They're healing affirmations specifically around mother wounds that you can listen to whenever, wherever, because you can download them. I also included additional resources where there's books that you can kind of check out that will further support you on your journey as you work through it. And then I created a music playlist for you. And then lastly, inside the guidebook are what I call soul writing prompts. So you have specific questions that you have to answer after each section to kind of help you dig deep and do the inner work. So I just kind of wanted to let people know, like, everything that's included. So it's more than a guidebook. It is everything that I wish I had it when I was starting my, or wish I had when I started my healing journey. And then for people to connect with me, my website is thefreeproject.com. My podcast is Girl Be Free, and you can find it anywhere you listen to podcasts. I'm everywhere on social media at Be Free Project. And then if they want to invest in the motherless child, that website is themotherlesschild.com.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Siobhan. Like, I'm really, really grateful that you reached out to me, and I'm grateful that you provided something new and different that is also needed for those who are connected to the Fireflies community. So thank you so much. I really do appreciate it.
And thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you making space for me to share. And I don't take that lightly. And I know this is not like a popular conversation, but it's definitely needed. So thank you so much for having me.
So what did you all think of that interview with Siobhan, I'm sure someone was touched by that and it made them reflect on their relationship, or they were comforted and really appreciative that someone else could identify with what they were going through or what they've experienced. So again, if you enjoyed that interview, please leave your review and rate the podcast. For today, for the self-care segment, y'all, we got to bring in those fireflies. It is just simply to get the Motherless Child Guidebook. I want to encourage you, especially for those of us who have toxic relationships or our mother was absent, maybe our mother passed away, and we're dealing with some mommy wounds. And I really want to encourage you to start to work through that and see how it's impacting your life, because it certainly is. You may not think it is, but it truly is. So I want to encourage you for this week's self-care segment to get the Motherless Guide and start to do your work. Do your work, because as you've heard in the interview with Siobhan, that how once she started to work on her mother wounds, how her life began to change for the better. And so, yes, it may be hard. Yes, you may be scared, but the work is so rewarding and it's so worth it. So again, I want to encourage you to get the Motherless Guidebook for today's self-care segment. And for this week's therapist shout out, I had the pleasure of meeting Janae. She is a licensed clinical social worker, and she and I definitely had a conversation where we were talking about topics that she could possibly discuss on the podcast, because I do interview therapists from time to time on the podcast. And so the name of her practice is Mending Minds Wellness Center, and she is based in Largo, Maryland, like the Upper Marlboro area. And so if you're looking for a therapist and you're in the D.C., Maryland, or, you know, you're in PG County, Janae would be awesome. Again, the name of her practice is Mending Minds Wellness Center. And she's also currently, I believe she's definitely accepting clients. So if you're in that area and you are looking for a therapist, let Janae know that Kia of the Fireflies Unite podcast sent you over. So that is it for today's episode. You all have a fantastic week, and I will talk to you next week. Thank you so much for listening.